Love.
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 Sex.
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 Damnation.
Dance.
The marker.
Danger.
Darkness.
Die Markfarbe.
Tischkern. Tischkern.
Daru.
Desperados.
Destruction.
This is the LSD Cast, India's first podcast about love, sex, and dating.
I am so lovely and excited to be on this show. Hi guys, I was just asked by my darling sister Rogue not to say lovely and excited in the same sentence.
This is Prem's Takya Kalam. Everything is lovely, everything is exciting. We have an exciting show, lovely people. And now he's both lovely and exciting. Well done.
That's right. You are with the lovely Prem and the exciting Rogue.
Ooh.
Perfect.
Perfect. Now, welcome to the show, everybody. It's going to be... it's going to be lovely.
Just for those listeners who are tuning in for the first time, we want to let you know that this podcast is brought to you by a real brother and sister duo. That's Rogue and myself, Prem. And it is our love and dedication to the show that we put in our heart, our blood, our sweat, and no other bodily fluids.
Thank God for that.
into the amount of work that we put in to bring this to you. So I hope you guys are tuned in.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about love, sex, and dating, as we do on every episode, with humor. Well, we think we're hilarious. And candor and respect, mostly, when we're not making fun of people.
Or ourselves, yes.
So stay tuned for more. So what have we got coming up in this show? Prem, tell people. Tell everybody. Tell them now.
So we actually have a surprise guest on the show, and I'm very, very excited to have her because she's going to put light into a subject that a lot of us ponder on, which is being lonely.
Yeah, even in a relationship. And then we were chatting before the show about our sex question. And Prem, I was distracted and I said, what is it about? And Prem said, aerobics, sexual aerobics. And so, it's not, but we're just imagining people wearing like...
Just the thought of it.
Spandex with a belt and like leg warmers going, one, two, reach, three, four, reach. So funny.
See, that's one way, guys, of getting your workout out of the way. Just FYI.
I don't think there's anything sexy about aerobics. Like, nothing. Regardless of how tiny your outfits and beautiful your physique or figure is. Boys doing aerobics, I think, just always look really goofy.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's very dated. Like, it's, you know, the old school kind of way of working out. So, obviously, to us, it's really cheesy.
Dude, we had a cousin who had a Jane Fonda audio cassette to work out with. So, like, it's mind-boggling when you think of it. I mean, we have MP3 players and stuff now, but aerobics is so visual. You guys, go online and, like, find some good Jane Fonda aerobics videos to make your morning happy. And just imagine now having those instructions on a cassette, which then is played in a Walkman, which you have to have physically on you because there's no Bluetooth at this point in life. There are only wired headsets. So you've got this clipped around you while you're trying to, like, reach, bend, quietly.
Oh, my God. Thank God for technology. Wow. We've come a long way.
And advances in exercise, yes. Floor mat exercises. Oh, my Lord. I remember watching all these people doing leg lifts and stuff. Funny outfits. Good times.
Wow, Rogue, that was like in the 80s. I wasn't even born then.
Yes, sure. Yeah. I mean, I know that. I'm your sister. We're both like spring chickens here.
Hush, quiet.
We were born in 2000.
Yes, exactly.
So, on that note, maybe we should take a quick break.
And we'll be back.
Hi, this is Michael Burns from Tall Tales Takeaway, India's first storytelling podcast where we feature true stories by people just like you. Find us anywhere where podcasts are found.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. So we have a question that has been written by Alka. Now, Alka says that she has a new...
Wow, talk about like jumping right in with no preamble. Guys, this is our sex question.
Love. And
danger.
And I'm glad that you said that because it's on the same vein of things. So...
So
Alka writes in saying that with her previous partners, she basically enjoyed sex and, you know, there was always like a little bit of variation, which is, of course, normal. Like you start in a certain way and then, you know, maybe two or three.
Start in a certain way, like a position?
Yeah, certain position. And then two or three positions later. I mean, that's the maximum they would go and they'd be done. And it's great. It's enjoyable. But this new guy that she'd been dating, she is wondering like what's going on because he changes positions 7 to 8 times every time they have sex.
Whoa!
And it's like really fast, like a few minutes and then he'll do something and then a few minutes and then... So she brought it up with him, which is very good, Alka. Well done. And she asked him jokingly and, you know, put it across, like, why do you change, you know, so many positions so soon? And he turned around and said that, why? Don't you like it? And she said, no, I do. So Alka asked us two questions. One is that, what's up with that, the acrobatic sex? She actually has a name for it, Rogue. Wow, that's great. And the second one is that what if she is not happy with her, you know, with him changing the position so many times? Does that, what she asked, does that make her a prude if she is not happy? And she'd be just okay with maybe two or three positions.
Gotcha. Okay then. So, acrobatic sex. Have you ever had acrobatic sex, Prem?
I believe that would be an affirmative.
So, hey, do you know of this, like, contraption? We could be the last people to be talking about it. Everybody may know about it. But it looks like this, like, tire swing where you hang it from the ceiling and it bounces up and down. So, it gives you momentum and you sort of ride it together.
Oh, interesting. No, I have not.
Like a love bench that bounces.
Love tires?
Love die. I don't know why. There's a word for it, obviously. You guys, I'm not looking it up right now, but people who are listening, you know, leave us a note on Facebook or Twitter or something and tell us.
See, now that should be the real literal meaning of the love seat.
Right. So, yeah, anyway, that's what I'm thinking of when I think acrobatic. And since I don't even know what it's called, I think you can clearly assume that I haven't tried it. But yeah, sometimes it can be fun to change 8 positions in one go.
I think so too. I am totally definitely down for something like that where, you know, there's always more excitement and different variations and, you know, it can, I feel like honestly, like it kind of elongates the whole process. Like you end up having sex so much longer because when you know that you're going to be doing different things, you have mentally kind of like prepared yourself. I feel like somewhere that kind of like plays in and you actually get to enjoy sex for a longer period of time. So I think that something like that has its advantages.
So interestingly, we do have a question in our kitty about duration. So we'll get to that in another episode because when we chatted, we also found and from the question, we found that durations of how long sex lasts, people have different preferences, girls and boys especially. But with this acrobatic thing, I would imagine that it does get tiring, especially if you don't know what's coming next and you're just being, in my experience, you know, you're just being sort of flipped around and turned around and, you know, changed into a different angle. And it can be disconcerting. It can be fun. But it may not be the best thing for every time. Maybe, like, I don't know if I would like that to be so athletic. It might be nice just to have gentle sex once without changing, like, 8 positions. It might be nice when you find something that works for you to stay with it rather than just, okay, you know, blow the whistle, change position.
I think you're right. But I feel like the position that you just talked about, not in particular, but saying that...
What?
The position that works for you, for anyone, could be the last position in the number of positions that you actually end up doing. Like, that could be the finishing position, because you know that you both would probably finish.
Yeah, for the person who's sort of in charge, right? And I guess with the guy, am I wrong in assuming that you're doing this flipping, flopping, quick change because you want variety? Or is it because you're trying to get to the point that actually scratches your itch and you're like, oh, this didn't work, let's try another one. Oh, let's try another one. Like, is it because you're not satisfied, or is it because you just like everything?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think guys just like everything.
What nonsense? You can't have, like, so have sex 8 times or 4 times and do 2-2.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, one can. Absolutely. That's fine. I'll take it. But but I feel like there's and then
you want the whole buffet.
And exactly. And I also now when I talk about it, I also feel that, again, it comes to the same thing. Like men, they do watch a lot of stuff on, like, TV and, you know, pornographic stuff. Mm. So there are, like,
mostly on their mobile phones now, I think.
Mostly, yeah. And so they're, of course, like you said, a buffet of positions. So I think it kind of has an imprint on your mind, and you just want to, like, execute as many as possible. But now, coming to Alka's question, if she, you know, is not happy being flip-flapped, like you said, and she wants to do something about it, I think, Alka, there's no harm. You're not a prude. I mean, at the end of the day, it's about your preferences, your likes, your dislikes. And, you know, if I feel like the guy that you're with probably is someone who is there to please you. So I don't think that he would be very offended if you kind of, like, talk to him. And you should.
Right. And you know, sometimes you can take the lead. I'm trying to imagine that. But maybe you can flip him around and be like, no, stay there. Or down, boy.
Exactly, there you go. Some guys are into that kind of stuff as well.
Or you could just say, I really like that, can we do that a little longer, assuming that's the situation and you don't want to do 8 things but want to do 2 or 3 things. Try
There you go.
And no, it doesn't make you a prude at all. Just own what you like and make it happen, all of you. So if 8 is his number and 2 is yours, maybe you can compromise on 2 sometimes and 8 sometimes, or 4 or something. Yeah.
Uh-oh. I think there's some steam coming out from the other end, because Rogue is actually doing mathematics.
What?
Which is not her strongest virtues.
Oh, shut up!
Wait, 2 plus 3, 5 minus 1, 4 plus 2, minus 3, equals to 2.
If you weren't so ridiculously funny, I would be so offended.
Anyway, so Alka, I think we've answered your question, but again, yes, we would love to know what happens. So please write back and let us know how it plays out. Acrobatically, of course. And before I take your leave, because again, it's going to be the same thing. You know, I'm going to be ousted out of the show because, and it's...
Aww. It's because you made fun of me.
Yeah. But I don't mind doing that, because we have the one and only Sonali Gupta on our show. And I know for a fact that all you listeners are going to really enjoy what she has to say. And the stuff that Sonali is going to talk about, I'm sure that you, me, every one of us, each one of us has been there, because, you know, of course, we're human and we do feel lonely sometimes. And she addresses all these questions rather well. So stay tuned, and it's going to be Rogue and Sonali. All right, listeners, so I'm going. Bye. But I'll be back in the last segment, so don't miss me too much.
Bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye, Prem, bye.
Find the LSD Cast online on Twitter and Facebook and on iTunes and the Google Play Store.
And we're back, and we have our favorite guest on the show, Sonali Gupta, psychologist, counselor extraordinaire, who deals with all kinds of issues in her work. I'll let her introduce herself in case you've forgotten who she is, which you shouldn't have, because she was on our show just recently.
Thank you for the kind words. So yes, I work with all people who are struggling with love, sex and dating, also love, sex and desire and dhoka, all three of it put together.
And, you know, earlier we were talking about... like how everybody wants to be in a relationship. But in Sonali's work and in the stuff we hear, there are actually people who are in relationships who might think the grass is greener on the other side and may actually not be that happy in it. So, Sonali, you were telling me about somebody, people that you've heard of across the spectrum, and these are boys as well as girls, who have a different kind of problem.
True. So I see a lot of, you know, people across gender. And I'm not just saying young people, even older, people who are married, people who are dating, who still feel lonely in relationships. So there's, I hear narratives of people asking me, you know, can they survive without a relationship? Or should, you know, is a relationship like a band-aid to their loneliness? And then there are others who are saying, I'm in a relationship and I still feel deeply lonely.
I think a lot of people think a relationship will rescue them, right? You look for somebody who's going to just take you out of your humdrum existence and forget a band-aid. Like they're going to give you like an airlift and put you in a castle and really look after you and your loneliness is forever banished. But clearly this isn't always the case.
I agree. You know, I think that's more like it. I think the idea of, you know, we finding someone who makes us happy is unrealistic by itself. We need to love ourselves first before someone else can love us.
Those are like, but everybody says this and it's really hard to translate into action. So is that the key to not being lonely in the relationship? What is going on when you're lonely in a relationship?
I think a fair degree depends on how much do you communicate in a relationship. When you feel you're lonely in a relationship, you may need to talk to your partner about it. For all you know, your partner also feels lonely in a relationship. And people may just assume that I'm not supposed to feel lonely because I'm in a relationship. So I should not talk about it. So then both of them are lonely, but they choose to not talk about it. In turn, they either stop investing in the relationship or they get distracted or there's a weak moment. So it could lead to a lot of other things.
That's kind of sad. Or back burner syndrome, right?
Yes. Or back burner syndrome where you're feeling lonely and you're likely to go and check, you know, people's profile who are on your back burner.
Right. We discussed this in a previous episode, guys. Go listen. So if you're lonely in a relationship, that seems depressing, though. Does that mean you have to break up with them? If like you talk to them, and how do you address this? It's just so sad.
Absolutely not. I think everyone in every relationship at one point does feel lonely. So I think what you tell yourself is what makes the difference. So you tell yourself that we can deal with it. We can manage it. So I think that's the narrative that makes it different. If you tell yourself that I'm feeling lonely and that's the end of it, you will not even put an effort. Mm. Then everything your partner does would seem like he or she's not interested in me.
Right. And they're trying to alienate you, or maybe sometimes even on purpose, or try to shut you out.
Yes. So your partner plans a guy's night out and you would feel that, he doesn't want to spend time with me. When he may just want to spend time with his friends. And, you know, like I do couple session. And so we raised this and the client would say, but I thought the weekend, Saturday, Sunday, I was going to spend time with you. So how was I alienating you at all?
By going out on Friday night, yeah.
Which is really valid. You know, 2 days I'm spending with you. One Friday night for 4 hours I'm out drinking and chatting with my friends. It's not alienating you.
So what is somebody supposed to do? Or if they talk to their partner and the partner is just baffled by this and it's like, I don't understand why you're feeling lonely. And, you know, maybe there are other factors like depression or other things. What do you advise people to do then?
I think if they are feeling lonely, irrespective of whether they're married, not married, I think they need to consciously spend more time doing shared activities, something that they really enjoy together as a couple. So it could be doing a sport together, doing a sports class together, learning an instrument together, you know, going and watching plays if you like it, or going out just two of them without this entire huge group that they're part of. Because a lot of time I hear couples tell me narratives who are dating each other, tell me how in the last 6 months only once they have gone out together. Otherwise, they're always with friends. All their holidays are with their friends.
Oh my goodness. That reminds me of somebody I know who always rolls with an entourage, whether he's with his girlfriend or alone. Like he has like 8 people with him all the time. I think he's I don't know if he's lonely or he's afraid of being lonely. Maybe it's the same thing.
Or there are people who feel that we will have nothing to talk to each other if we are just left by ourselves. But it's okay, even if you don't have much to talk to each other, till the time you enjoy each other's presence.
Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. So basically build it up. Like invest time and effort into it and then you'll be less lonely. What about working on yourself?
Yes, so exactly. I think the bigger part is about working on your own self. Asking yourself, what are some of the things which you enjoyed doing earlier, which you have given up, which you're not doing? Or where is this emotional need coming from? And is it, are you being realistic about it?
Fair enough. You know, Prem and I have talked about this before, where when you start dating somebody, you're sort of subsumed by them and you give up a lot of stuff. I think it happens to everybody. Once you're in a new relationship, you start dropping things you like to do, things that you like together as a couple. And then suddenly, you know, you normalize and you've lost those things. And maybe that means you need to re-look at them, regain them, refine them.
Absolutely. And I think that happens to everyone, you know, who's dating. At some point, you just feel that you want to spend more time with your partner. But after a point, you like alone time. And it's good. Like I always tell couples that you need to have alone time. And you also need to have, you know, shared time.
Us time, we time.
Yes, us time, we time. Also, I feel you need to have time with your friends. So you need to have all three of it. And if you have, if you're married, then you also need family time, which includes your children. So consciously creating those time, you know, not feeling guilty when you're doing something that your spouse may not want to join or your partner may not want to join. Like if you like exercising, you like running on the weekend and your partner likes sleeping and getting up late on the weekend, it may be still fine to run on a weekend, to still go for a run.
Because I think also once you start compromising too much of yourself, then you start resenting your partner.
Absolutely. You feel that it's expected. But some of us are in relationships where our partner and their needs are very different from us. So I think in those relationships, it's very important that we consciously also engage in alone time to fulfill our own emotional needs. And that's part of self-compassion, and which is not selfishness.
Fair enough. Sonali's laughing because I'm sure she comes across this all the time. But I think it's an important distinction, truly. So if you are out there and you are feeling lonely in your relationship, don't despair. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe it's something you need to work through. And if you felt like this and you have something you'd like to share with us or questions, further questions that you'd like us to bring Sonali back in, and you think Prem and I are not addressing okay on our own, then you know how to find us. And if you want to reach Sonali, this is how you do it.
Yeah, so you can reach out to me on my website, which is www.guptasonali.com, which is GuptaSonali.com.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So you already know you have to like us. No, love us. Show us your love by also sending questions and comments. Do you disagree with something we said? We want to hear from you. Go on, don't be shy.
Wow, Rogue, how good was that? Isn't Sonali just amazing? She's phenomenal. She's so like measured and well-spoken, and she put everything into perspective.
Yeah, she's really, really nice.
Yeah, I wish I could meet her in person. She seems like a really nice, warm person.
Yes, that she is. So we will have her back on the show again. But since you were so silent during this last segment, Prem, tell us.
Really? You happen to notice? Wow.
Yeah. So, and we missed you. You've been single for a bit now.
Yes.
So I'm sure you do get lonely, as do I and everybody I know who's single and is, you know, we're coping.
Yeah.
We're fine. We like ourselves. But it does get lonely, right?
Yes. Well, yes, it does. Sometimes, of course. I mean, I'm a human being at the end of the day. I mean, I do, you know.
Oh, thank God. Here I was thinking my brother was actually hatched out of, like, kidney beans.
Kidney beans? How about...
No, let's just... Okay, let's forget about it. Stop. Okay. Right, stop. So, what about in a relationship? Have you been in a relationship where you ended up feeling lonely?
When I've been in a relationship...
Yeah.
No. I feel like the women that I have dated in...
felt lonely. Oh, no.
Unless, of course, they were like out of town or they weren't here, of course, like I would miss them, but no.
No. What we were talking about, what Sonali and I were talking about.
No. I have not felt that.
Okay. That's good. You're lucky. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And what about you, Rogue? What about you? Have you ever felt lonely being in a relationship?
Actually, several times, which probably says more about my choices of men than anything else. My first boyfriend was a piece of work. He was a manipulative, pathological liar, very charming, and I was very naive. So I didn't obviously know that at the time, but he was very emotionally manipulative. And so I would have these periods when he would freeze me out, and I was so, what is the word? Beguiled.
Disenchanted.
Mm-hmm. No, I was not. I was so in the thrall of his power that I'd sort of isolated myself from talking about him to anybody else. And he was the only person I talked to. So if he's frozen me out, I had nobody to talk to. And it was really like he psychologically punished me by not talking to me.
Oh, ouch. Oh.
So yeah, I was intensely lonely. I know. I was 19 years old and I had really terrible role models and...
Yeah, but what a dick. I mean, at that age, doing all this shit. Horrible.
Well, yes. But it's not... I don't think he, again, was...
But you know what, Rogue? When I look back, like, even when I was 19 and right up till, you know, 23, 24, I was also pretty... I was definitely a dick to a lot of guys and girls. But I made amends and I became aware and conscious of that, and I feel like at that age you still like figuring so much shit out, you know. So
oh yeah,
it can happen.
Oh yeah, also it can happen, and I think
like you can be on either side.
When I look back, I feel like that person who was me is totally unrecognizable. The choices that Rogue made are not choices that the Rogue today would make.
Absolutely.
And I'm very happy for how far I've come. I wish I could do something about that Rogue and like slap some sense into her and be like, come on, you don't have to put up with this, you know, talk to some people. But I think the way we're brought up, the things that happen to us, the things we see, all have an impact for life. So I'm glad I'm not like that anymore. Anyway, I look back and I feel like I'm glad that the things that happened to me to change me happened to me, and I am a more self-aware person. Unfortunately, this ex is still within the realm of my circle. Like, he's still friends with friends of friends, so he'll pop up, or like, you know, when people get together from school or whatever to talk, they'll reference him. And it sounds like he hasn't changed at all. So I feel great sympathy for whoever he's with, but I'm so happy I'm not like that anymore.
Good. There you go.
Boundaries.
All right. So on that...
All right.
On that, I wouldn't say a happy note.
No, it's a happy note. We've come a long way, baby.
Yes, we have. So if you want to catch us, you know where to find us.
Yes. Like us on iTunes. Write a review for us, please. iTunes is unfortunately the only place that really, really, really matters for reviews. Please, please, please like us, review us, tweet us, Facebook us. And you know what we're going to do is add a form on our site so that you can just submit questions directly rather than having to send us an email and then you can be totally anonymous. How's that? We should have thought about this like a year ago.
That's true.
It's finally occurred to us.
So fill out the form and type in the URL. It's bit.ly/lsdcast.com. Or cast if you're in America.
All right. Okay, guys, we will catch you on the other side. Have a good week. Have lots of sex.
And we will see you right here next time.
You've been listening to the LSD Cast, where it's all about love, sex, and busy dating. With your hosts, Prem and Ro.
A Sonologue production.